DW Africa Link.
The suspension of US funding to the World Health Organization, WHO, has far-reaching consequences, especially for Africa. The continent heavily depends on WHO support for disease control, vaccine distribution, and healthcare infrastructure, making the situation critical. Efforts to combat malaria, Mpox, Ebola, and maintain polio eradication are particularly at risk, potentially undoing years of progress. Now, what implications does this have for Africa's healthcare systems, and how might governments and organizations respond to fill the gap left by this funding cut? Let's explore the unfolding consequences of this critical decision. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The African Union has expressed concern over President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw the United States from the World Health Organization. WHO is urging him to reconsider. Shortly after taking office, Trump signed an executive order for the withdrawal, which could severely impact global health initiatives. Musa Faki Mahamat, chairman of the African Union Commission, has also described the move as disheartening, stating it jeopardizes funding that is critical for Africa's efforts to combat health crises such as Mpox and Marburg viruses. Trump cited concerns regarding the WHO's political influence and the contributions made by the U.S. Experts warn that this withdrawal could disrupt programs that address diseases like tuberculosis and HIV/AIDS, among others. Now, joining me for this discussion is Dr. David Parirenyatwa, former Zimbabwe Health Minister and World Health Assembly President. Also on the discussion is DW correspondent Privilege Moshaniri. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us here today on DW Africa Link podcast, where we are talking about a story that's been making headlines, not just in Africa, but also in the world, as U.S. President Donald Trump has withdrawn his country, U.S., from the WHO agency. And today we are opportune to have a former health minister of Zimbabwe. He is also the World Health Assembly past president, Dr. David Parirenyatwa. So we'll start with you, Doctor. What is your assessment of Trump's executive order for the U.S. to withdraw from the WHO?
Thank you very much, Jose. I think this is a very important discussion. As you know, when they use the word "we pause funding," which really means we are withdrawing, but pause is, I suppose, the word that is used. And there are three things that they are going to do. One is to pause funding, to stop funding the WHO. Number two is to withdraw the global security treaty that had been put in place by President Biden. And number three, to withdraw all WHO personnel from WHO immediately. And that's the executive order. And the implications are immense. Mm. As you know, USA was a founder member of WHO in 1948, and that was by an act of Congress. And it means that Congress had to approve this. I'm not sure whether this now applies in terms of reversing it, but we leave that one to the legal experts.
Right.
But what I mean, go on.
I was just going to ask about looking at the African aspect now, our continent. I've also seen even the African Union Commission Chairman Musa Faki said in a statement he was in court dismayed to learn of the U.S. government's announcement to withdraw. Now that this has happened, obviously they're using the word pause, but even in your own statement, you say that it is actually to withdraw. Then how much of an impact will this withdrawal be on African health systems? This is a concern.
It will impact very immensely on the African continent in our health systems. The U.S. contributes something like up to about 20%, really between 18 and 22%. That's their contribution to WHO each year. And that is significant if it is withdrawn. it means that it will impact on our programs on HIV, on malaria, on TB, and of course on the general health strengthening of our countries. But having said that, I hope you are going to ask me, how should the African countries react? In my view,
absolutely.
The AU has done the right thing to say, please reconsider. And that's really what they are saying, in essence, that we are dismayed. We hope you think again. And WHO head office in Geneva has issued a similar statement that please try to reconsider, because the impact on the world health in general is going to be immense. It's just not going to impact on Africa. It's the whole world, including America, because of the transportation of infectious disease anywhere. So It's good that the African Union has already reacted, but they need to do more. They now need to, it's really a wake-up call for Africa, that you can't keep depending on the United States and other states.
Yeah, but this came as a shocker. What should they do, Doctor?
Well, I think the first approach is exactly that one, that please reconsider. Remember, this is a shocker, but it will only take effect after 1 year, because this is a notice. They must meet their obligations for this year, the United States. But since they made the application on this January, it will take a year before they formally withdraw. So there is that window period where Africa must just wake up and put his house in order and begin to fund their own health systems. So yes, it's a shocker. It's a big shocker. And that shock should impact on us, and our systems will suffer greatly.
And now, just as we are looking at Zimbabwe, also is one of those countries that's been benefiting a lot from this funding. A privilege. You are our reporter on ground. What are you hearing on the ground? What are people saying regarding Trump's executive order, even also the government? Have they responded?
Thanks, Josie. It has come as a shocker, particularly for those that are working in the public health system and within the non-governmental organization system. Remember, Zimbabwe relies on technical expertise, relies on funding from the WHO for so many programs. You talk of your immunization for polio and other diseases, and also particularly on the sexual and reproductive health. The US funding has been coming not only through the WHO. You find that the USAID has been a big player in terms of the provision of funding in this sector. Zimbabwe receives over $200 million annually from the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR. And the U.S. government, says it has given Zimbabwe over about $1.7 billion since 2006 to strengthen health systems and support people living with HIV and AIDS. Our government has not issued a statement, but through the finance minister, we was attending the Davos meetings. He actually commented and said that this is going to be a big blow, and the government is concerned, and there is fear that withdrawal of the U.S. from the WHO will impact particularly on the provision of HIV and AIDS programs. I will mention one organization that I know which has already expressed concern, which is the Population Services International in Zimbabwe. They provide sexual and reproductive health programs to mostly vulnerable communities. And what will happen, they're afraid that now that the return of President Trump into office, the Republicans, they are anti-abortion. And the problem that they are fearing now is that they provide safe abortion services, particularly at their clinic, one of their clinics in the capital, Harare. So they are afraid that if President Trump is to invoke what is called the global gag rule, it will then mean that they are going to lose funding that was coming to the organization to provide all the services that they've been providing. So it's a huge impact, and the shocks will be felt really if these executive orders are to come into effect.
Right. Now, Dr. Parinyat, well, from what Privilege just mentioned, now this is one organization that will gravely be affected in Zimbabwe. What do you think they need to do?
Well, I think, of course, the issue is that it's just one organization, as you rightly say, and a lot of community organizations were being funded by the U.S., including WHO programs in Zimbabwe. And what they should do to mitigate this, and that is really the problem that we have, is literally to look at these programs, in my view, and then submit them at the highest level in their own countries, in Zimbabwe, so that resources can begin to be rechanneled to those areas. It means that governments have got to be very, very alert, deliberately alert, to see how can they can fill this gap. Most of our African countries, of course, are poor. If you look at the African nations, are very small, and they struggle to contribute to WHO. So this burden is just going to spin our heads to really have a complete rethink, because a lot of the programs that are community-based, that are on the health in the health sector, are going to collapse, are going to suffer. And it's the responsibility of individual governments to pick up the pieces if we cannot persuade the Americans to come back. But of course, there are other bigger countries like China. I don't know whether they will have the appetite to fill that gap. But of course, these are things that we should be actively brainstormed on. This is new. We should all brainstorm on it. We always said being sponsored by donors is a security risk. And indeed, it's now showing that it is a security risk.
Right. Just for you, our listeners, as we are discussing this issue on U.S. president withdrawing from WHO, Dr. David Parirenyatwa's father was the first black doctor in Zimbabwe. Even one of the, I mean, not one of, but the biggest hospital in Zimbabwe is named after his father. That is Parirenyatwa Hospital. So Dr. Parirenyatwa here grew up in that field, you know, in terms of health. And he is also a doctor now. He was the Minister of Health in Zimbabwe, also the past president of World Health Assembly. And my biggest question to you, Dr. Parinatora, you touched on China. Are we not giving the US so much credit, too much credit, as if it's the only country? I know WHO was founded there, but why is it important that the US remains in the WHO? There are other countries, big countries, that can fill the gap.
You're right. No, this is the nature of geopolitics, isn't it? I think what we're going into now is the geopolitical balances and the influences. As you are aware, if you United States is sponsoring this, then it carries a lot of soft power in terms of influencing issues that happen in individual countries. But once they withdraw, that soft power is partly also withdrawn. And of course, that vacuum will have to be filled by somebody else. It could be China, perhaps. It could be some of the European countries, perhaps. But also, it could be the reawakening of Africa. I mean, if you look at what's happening in Burkina Faso with Traore, suddenly the resources are just coming up and popping up. And I think we should not stop looking at ourselves, what we call domestic financing.
Now, when you're saying someone should step in, other countries can do that. Michael Bloomberg has said he would step in to help funding gap after Trump withdrew the United States. Can you, Doctor, imagine something similar for the WHO?
I think from the African perspective, what could do, or from the Africa perspective, there are a lot of philanthropists whom we have not looked at in our own countries. I mean, Bloomberg is a philanthropist. But what about in Africa? Don't we have some? So it's another temporary gap that we could look at. We've got big guys who have got monies, and we should be able to then, they should be told about this and let them see the impact of it. So yes, you're right. Zimbabwe has got its own philanthropists. We should not shy away from this at this point in time. Yes, we are giving too much credit to America because it has been occupying that space for a long time. Almost we're assuming that it is always going to be there. But there we are. We've got a president who suddenly says, no, I don't want this. America comes first. So we cannot begin to continue to cry and say, please, America, give us. We can do so for some time. But I tell you, I still insist, it's a wake-up call for Africa.
Now, Privilege, just to go back to Zimbabwe, we know the vulnerability of the healthcare system in that country. Now, without this strong support from WHO, and you say that the only person I think from government who's commented already is the finance minister because he was in Geneva for the Davos meetings. Nothing yet from the health minister, but to people, I mean, the citizens really understand the impact of this withdrawal.
Josie, I think citizens are very much aware of the impact. I think we can safely say that I think Doc has been in the health sector and overseered our health system for a long time. And look, as deep as in the rural areas, right now I am in the rural areas where you have some clinics and health systems that have been receiving direct support from organizations that get money from the US government. So when people hear about this, definitely, they were starting to talk and expressing fears that whatever services that they were getting, will they continue post this closure of funding that has been coming from the US? Remember, Zimbabwe has done very well the fight against HIV and AIDS. And this has been technical support. This has been maybe financial support from international institutions. And some of these international institutions are linked to the US. So the impact is going to be felt in two ways. It's on policy matters and on financial. Look, we always say organizations, they follow the flag. Its president says, "We are stopping, we are pausing." It definitely means that whatever support was trickling down, whether to down to the that woman, that child in the rural areas, in the most remote parts of the continent or even across the world, they are not going to receive that support. So definitely there is concern within the citizenry to say that, are we going to be receiving this support post the closure of any funding that has been coming from the US government? One example in Africa, when President Trump was in office in his previous term in Madagascar, those organizations that were providing sexual and reproductive health, one of which was counseling of teenagers in terms of early pregnancies, they stopped the organizations that were offering that support because they didn't have funds for outreach. The result, they say that there's been an increase in teenage pregnancies. And on average, they are saying that 25-year-old woman is estimated to have five children, which means they are starting to give birth when they are somewhere around 15. So can you imagine? That's the impact, the far-reaching impact that it can have on any community. So, it is of concern to people.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Parinyota. And Privilege Muswaniri, as we wrap up, we also have a role to play as the media. What advice can you give to your colleagues, especially on ground, to ensure that at least people are aware of the dangers and what should be done by their governments to ensure that this is resolved?
From my own perspective, I think that there's need for awareness and make our governments, particularly when they do budgets. I think there's always been a call for 15% of our national budgets to go to health. So if governments were not doing that, I think it's high time as well that there be an adherence to that. I think this has been something that was agreed from long back across the African continent. It is good for the respective countries because at the end of the day, you have a reserve where you can then say, we fund our own health programs. We can be self-sufficient. I think in terms of awareness, we really need to look at probably some of the things are low-hanging fruits in terms of maybe the funding that was going to some. Then there may need to be diversion of funds in terms of strengthening the health systems because surely if this funding goes away, the impact is going to be felt. So our role as the media is to maybe unflesh and also make people aware of some of the things that they can do at respective individuals in terms of looking after your own health before we go to, external funds.
Dr. David Parinyatwa, former Zimbabwe Health Minister and World Health Assembly President, and also DW correspondent Privilege Muswaniri, many thanks for joining us.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
The WHO and the European Union may not have been overly surprised when President Donald Trump made it one of his first tasks to withdraw from the WHO. But now medical workers will be trying to anticipate what this means for vaccination and other health programs, which many developing nations rely on.
Within a day of his triumphant swearing in and stepping back into the White House, President Donald Trump began the process of withdrawing the U.S. from the World Health Organization again. It is the second time he has pulled the country out of the U.N.'s health organization in less than 5 years. Many scientists fear it could roll back gains made in fighting diseases like AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, progress which has taken many decades. There is also concern that pulling out of the WHO could weaken the world's defenses against new outbreaks, which may trigger pandemics. When Joe Biden won the presidency 5 years ago, he immediately reversed Trump's effort to take the U.S. out of the organization. Questioned by onlookers as he signed the executive order in the White House, Trump argued the WHO forced the U.S. to shoulder an unfair financial burden.
They were paying $39 million, we were paying $500 million. It seemed a little unfair to me. So that wasn't the reason, but I dropped out. They offered me to come back for $39 million. In theory, it should be less than that, but, you know. And when Biden came back, they came back for $500 million. He knew that you could have come back for $39 million. They wanted us back so badly, so we'll see what happens.
Responding to Trump's argument, the World Health Organization spokesman Tariq Yasarevic is urging the president to negotiate.
We hope the United States will reconsider, and we look forward to engaging in constructive dialogue to maintain the partnership between the United States of America and WHO. Together, we ended smallpox, and together we have brought polio to the brink of eradication. American institutions have contributed to and benefited from membership in WHO.
The European Union Commission is also calling on Trump to seek solutions. EU Commission's spokesperson Eva Hyansorova says,
Regarding the effectiveness of WHO, there is always a space for improvement, but we would like to engage in a possible reform of the WHO. I think the solution is that we need a common solution for the common problems. And if we want to have a reform of the WHO, then we need to be engaged in it.
Trump's decision means a call to pause the future transfer of the U.S. government funds to the organization, as well as recalling and reassigning federal personnel and contractors working with WHO. It is expected there will be legal challenges, according to Kent Buse, former head of strategy, policy and research at UNAIDS. Buse, a political economist specializing in health policy, says by law it takes a year to complete the withdrawal from the WHO. Buse believes Trump's disaffection with the WHO isn't just about funding, but about who controls it. Programs most at risk are polio, immunizations, AIDS, global health security, malaria, and maternal and child health. But Buse, now a professor of health policy at Monsha University, says the damage goes far beyond individual health programs.
It does go beyond the impact on these individual programs just because of the nature of the organization. It's qualitatively different than any other global health organization like the Global Fund, like Gavi, like CEPI, etc. It brings experts from around the world that are aware of the best evidence that's available.
According to Buse, a reset of the WHO is backed by other regions.
Quite frankly, I think that in a multilateral system, Trump's right on that front. that the global health system, and not only the World Health Organization, has a very unhealthy dependence on one country, and that's the United States. And by definition, that isn't multilateralism.
Part of Trump's executive order calls for officials to, in quote, identify credible and transparent United States and international partners to assume necessary activities previously undertaken by WHO. Bill says setting up an alternative WHO isn't an option, especially in the short term, and he questions Trump's purpose in calling for another version of the organization.
If you set up a competing one, then obviously that will undermine WHO, which is meant to be the world's leading coordinating authority on health. So I don't know if this is a dead cat strategy of Trump, throwing that on the table to deflect attention from other things, which it may well be.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Please remember to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Buba Jallo. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
For mine.